Who do you say I am?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, called the darkness night. And it was evening and it was morning the first day. Those are the first words from the Bible. On the first page, we have light. On the last page of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, John is talking of the new heavens, the new earth, and he says, "There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." First page, last page, bookends of the Bible, the theme of light. And then all throughout you have that. In John, well, first of all, these words on the screen, "I am," just three letters, just two words, but one big idea, one big deal. "I am," Pastor Corey referenced last week in Exodus 3, when Moses came upon this burning bush and God was speaking from the bush and instructing Moses what to do. And Moses is overwhelmed and says, "Well, who do I say sent me?" And God said, "I am." Meaning, I am. I am self-existent. I always have and I always will. I am. Now, that is significant, and that's why this series, we're looking at seven I am statements that Jesus made. Each of them really got him in trouble. One, so much when he declared "I am" in the end of chapter 8, where people picked up stones to stone him because they knew, when you say that, you're saying you're God. And I had to think Jesus would be saying, that's right. You caught that. Let's look at John chapter 8. We're going to focus on verse 12 today. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Here's the big idea today. Jesus is the light, and we are his reflectors. This theme of light is found throughout the Bible. First page, last page, everywhere in between. In fact, 244 times light is mentioned. It's a significant theme. Light in the Bible is a symbol of goodness. It's a symbol of blessing. It's a symbol of truth. God declares that he is light. Jesus declares that he is the light of the world. And we are told that we, those who have put their faith in God and follow Jesus, that we are a community of light. That we are actually the light of the world to reflect the true light of the world. And I just want you to think of light and how we use light in our own culture and the significance of it. Just think about the physical benefits of light. Natural light, it boosts our body's vitamin D storage, which is important for absorbing calcium, promoting bone growth. Natural light leads to higher productivity. There was a study by the Swiss Institute of Technology. They found that those working under natural light had much higher levels of energy than those working under artificial light. So if you're in an office without a window, go find that study. Throw it on your boss's desk. Say, "Hey, I want to work for you. I need a window. I need a window in my office, some natural light." Natural light benefits vision. Screens, right, and fluorescent lights can cause eye strain, but natural light lowers the risk of nearsightedness in children and in young adults by helping the eye produce dopamine, which aids in healthy eye development. Natural light helps you sleep. Natural light improves your mood. Light is a big deal physically. Culturally, the way we use the word light, there's all kinds of phrases. We need to shed some light on the subject. Listen to this and you'll see the light of day. I see the light. Hey, that person is a real ray of light. Last night I was out like a light. Don't worry, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Of course, there's the game red light, green light. On your dashboard, if you're driving, if a light comes up, there's a warning light. There's another name for that. You know what it is? Idiot light. Yep, idiot light. If we want to bring some discovery to an issue, we're going to bring it to light. If somebody needs motivation, we're going to light a fire under that person. You get it. You're beginning to see the light. Quiet on the set. Lights, camera, action. Let's contrast light with darkness. The word darkness is used 209 times in the Bible. Quick quiz, how many times is light used in the Bible?
244.
Nice, 244. 209 times in the Bible. Almost one for one, which is interesting and why I think light is such a prevalent topic in our Bible, because we live in a culture of darkness. We as human beings left to ourselves are dark. Darkness is the natural environment for evil. Darkness is associated with death, with imprisonment, with being opposed to God. When we live in darkness, there's an effect on our soul, on our minds, and on our body. Listen to this study. British scientists put a group of six volunteers into a total isolation. There was this chamber that they built in a former nuclear bunker, and they put folks in there to monitor the effects it would have on their mind and their physical health over a 48-hour period. Now, understand, when they were in this bunker, it was closed, it was about the size of a prison cell, utter darkness, could not see their hand in front of their face, utter silence, they could only hear their breathing. Right, here's the results from one person who was studied. In the first 30 minutes of that experience, the person said, I started talking and singing and making jokes, but that quickly got boring. So I took to sitting on my bed, staring in front of me, but my mind filled with thoughts of my life outside. I started to worry about my fiance and my family. What if something happened to them while I'm in here? Would anyone let me know? It didn't take me long to feel more anxious than I usually would. I took a nap, but when I woke up, I didn't know how long I had slept. I lost track of time. It was unnerving. And then as time went on, he said, even as the meals came, it did not help reset my body clock. 18 hours in, he said, I began to get paranoid. I wondered if this experiment was a trick and that I would be trapped forever. I burst into tears. He said, I cannot remember the last time I cried. But in this setting, he easily did. 24 hours in, he said, mental alertness slowed. It was almost impossible to mentally stimulate myself. I felt like my brain was slowing down. 30 hours in, I began to pace back and forth to keep myself occupied. Just a note, one of the professors said that is a typical response seen in animals as well as people when kept in confinement. 40 hours in, I began to hallucinate. I saw a pile of 500 oysters. I felt as if the room was taking off from underneath. I felt nothing but numbness. Darkness. So, what does light do? We talked about the benefits physically to light. What does God say? And just out of curiosity, I'm only asking because I had several people say something after the first service. Are any of you relieved that the lights came back on? Because I had a couple of people saying, I started to get like really nervous. Like I was having a, I thought I was going to have a panic attack. Which is like, I said, I didn't plan for that, but I'm so glad. Because like, wow, that's pretty intense in terms of the significance and the role of light and the potential power of darkness. So what does light do? Listen to what the Bible says. Psalm 119:105 says this.
The world is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
A light to my path. Light guides us. How about John 1:5?
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Are those mics on? Darkness does not overcome it. So light overcomes. It guides. It overcomes. Matthew 5.
In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
We are a community of light. Let your light shine. Right? It motivates. It gives us a reason. It gives us purpose. Psalm 27:1.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Wow. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid of? It empowers us. What does light do? Psalm 119, 130.
The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
Oh, understanding to the simple. It instructs. And how about Revelation 21:23?
The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp.
Yes, Jesus is the light. It illuminates, so it guides us. It overcomes darkness. It motivates us, gives us purpose. It empowers us, right? Who should I be afraid of? It instructs us. It illuminates us. And so when Jesus says in John 8 that I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness but will have the light of life, it's a big deal. I want to break that up in two. This first part, I want you to know, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. And the fact that he is saying this, think about the context, right? We just heard all these verses about the power of light, the strength of light, the illumination, all of that. For Jesus to declare, I am the light, that is courageous. But it's even better. I want you to know the context for which he said that is during the Festival of Tabernacles. Right, there are seven Jewish feasts. Three of them are ones where everyone is to go to Jerusalem. This is one of those three. Major feasts. It's in the fall. And it had two purposes. One was to thank God for the harvest, for that fall. Just God, we thank you for your provision. But even more important, it was to look back of how God provided for Israel during their 40 years from Egypt to the Promised Land. Then that 40-year period, God was faithful. Do you remember how God guided Israel during those 40 years? Right, there was a pillar of cloud by day, and then there was a pillar of fire at night. Pillar of fire at night. Let me just review some of those verses. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. They're celebrating the light. Psalm 119, God's word is a light for my path. A verse that I didn't read, wasn't read earlier, Isaiah 49:6, says the coming Messiah would be a light for the Gentiles. So all of us here who are not from Jewish, don't have a Jewish heritage, it's talking about us. That the coming Messiah, Jesus, spoiler alert, sorry, Jesus would be the light for all of us. So let me show you some pictures. These are some drawings of, here's the temple. This is Herod's temple. And this is where everyone would gather. This is actually enormous. All right, here's another picture, just to give you a sense of the scope of it. All right, so this is the Temple Mount. This is the highest point on Jerusalem. And inside there is the temple. Now, this front section of the temple is called the Court of Women. And that doesn't mean that only women are allowed. It means that all Jewish men and women were allowed here. Women could not go any further in. But this is where they celebrated. And if you notice, there are four candelabras, like menorahs. And during the Festival of Tabernacles, each evening they would light these. Now, they had to put ladders up. They are 75 feet in height. And that section, the Court of Women, it's enormous. The length is approximately 50 yards. So just imagine half of a football field. The width is wider than a football field. All right, so it's an enormous place. These candelabras would be lit each night. This went on for 7 nights, and they would light them each night, and it was a party. Because of the height of these, because of the architecture of light stone, it was said that all of Jerusalem would be lit from this. In this context, on the last night of the festival, when the party gets amped up, right? They, you know, they bring in, they've been singing, they've been dancing. You know, this night, you know, it's like, like it really just amped it up. Yeah, they were getting their party on. But when these lights were lit, in this context, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In other words, these lights will illuminate all of Jerusalem. I illuminate the world. That's a big deal. Just think about the moxie, the courage, there's all of this. Like, did he say what I thought he said? This hasn't been the only historically great I am statement. You recognize this person? Muhammad Ali. What was his statement? I am the greatest. You've got Will Smith. I am legend. You have the Beatles. I am the walrus. Even Popeye gets in the game, has a bit of an accent. He says, I am what I am. And then a fun show. He declares, he is, I am the cool dad. I'll show you the clip.
I'm the cool dad. That's my thing. I'm hip. I surf the web. I text. LOL. Laugh out loud. OMG. Oh my God. WTF. Why the face? I know all the dances to high school music.
A lot of I am statements that come and go. Come and go. But folks, Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. There is a reason we open our Bibles. There is a reason we point people to Jesus. It's because he's not just a great teacher. He didn't just say some amazing things. He is God in the flesh. He is the light of the world. But look at the next phrase. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we said Jesus is the light. The other part is that we are his reflectors. But I want you to zero in on whoever follows me. That word follow. It's more than just, yeah, I mean, I give agreement to it. It's I am redirecting my life to follow another. It's one of commitment. It's one of, I will follow regardless of the cost. Like, it has this added meaning. He's saying, whoever follows me in this way will never walk in darkness. We'll never walk in darkness. It doesn't mean that we won't experience darkness. We will still go through tunnels where it is dark, but there will be a light. We will still experience questions and doubts and have reports from doctors or professors or whatever that sends us into a loop, just confused. But there will always be a light. Darkness will never overcome the light. The light is always there. And look at that last phrase. We'll have, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. We'll have the light of life. This is just not the 70, 80, 90 plus years hopefully we will get on earth. This is salvation. This is eternity with the light. This is a big deal. We are his reflectors if we have received the light. I'm going to come back to this, but I just want to put this in now. Have you said yes to Jesus? Can you say, I will never walk in darkness with confidence? God wants you to be able to say that. I will never walk in darkness because I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. Look at John 1:5. Again, we will have challenges in life, but the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not, cannot, will not overcome it. Man, that's amazing. Folks, we are to be reflectors of the light. I love sports. I follow sports. I play sports. Never good in any of them, but I have so much fun. I have so much fun. And I have friends that be like, yeah, let them play. You know, let them play. So much fun. But as I've aged, not quite old enough for Pastor Steve's class, I'm getting close. But as I age, what I can participate in has changed. I can't do all of the same sports. Actually, technically I can. It's just I'll be in pain for months afterwards, so I don't want to do that. But I've taken up biking, and it's a blast. I love it. However, my wife is very concerned about me because I'm on the road, and people, you know, are texting or not paying attention, and there's me, you know. So she requires the following. First of all, I have to have this light on my bike. So this goes on the front of my bike. I have a light on the back of my bike as well. And then depending on the season, I have to wear something like this. So this is, if it's, you know, summery, here's a short sleeve. And when I put this on, trust me, you can see me like down the street easily, all right? Easily. But when it gets a little cooler, I've got long sleeve shirt, all right? Regardless of where you live, when I put this on, you can see me from your house. Trust me. But then when it gets a little cooler, like I got to put like a little wind breaker on. This one allows me to be seen from another state. Right? And then when it gets like, hey, it's cold out there. Should I go? I'm going to go for it. Then I got to put this one on. And I actually have a photo where I was seen from outer space wearing this. And I've promised my wife, yes, I will do this. In addition, whatever I'm wearing over that, I have to put these reflectors on. And she made me put another light on the reflectors. So I like to think it just means my wife loves me. She's just not in it for the life insurance policy, so that's good. But she wants to make sure I am seen, clear as a bell. Look out, here comes my husband, stay away from him. Folks, we are to be that kind of reflector in the world. And by the way, I heard you mention helmet. I even have a bright helmet. I couldn't fit it in the bag. It was a bright helmet. When people see us, we want them to say, wow, like there's something different about him or her. They are reflecting the light of Christ. What does that look like for your life? Let me tell you how this impacted me this week. Now, I've been thinking about this message all week. And as I was thinking about Jesus being the light and we are to reflect his light, boom! Holy Spirit took me back to a scene the previous week. I was pretty rude to a couple of people. Technically, I think I was right. Regardless, I was still rude, all right? I was still rude. And so my initial instinct, because I'm proud and don't want to admit I'm wrong, was it's not a big deal. They knew it was not a big deal, right? I just dismissed it. And God was like, mm-mm. And so I called two different people. We got like the three of us on the phone. And I just said, hey, last week, you know, I said blah, 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 blah. You know what? I didn't say it in a healthy way. I was disrespectful. Like, will you forgive me? And you know, they were like, yeah, no big deal, yeah. Which was great. But I just had that sense of, you know what? I am like, may that be a reflection that God, you know, you're working through me. What does that look like for your life? There's an author, Robert Fulghum is his name. Years ago, he wrote bestseller. I think it's called Everything I Needed to Learn in Life, I Learned in Kindergarten. It, you know, sold a gazillion copies. But he tells a story, not in this book, in one of his other books. He tells a story of a course that he took with Dr. Papaderos. It was a two-week course on Greek culture. And Dr. Papaderos was wrapping things up, and he just said, hey, before we leave, are there any questions? Robert Fulghum raised his hand. Yes, he asked. What is the meaning of life? Everybody kind of giggled and just started packing their stuff up. But Dr. Papaderos was looking in his eyes just to get a sense. Is he just joking? Is he just playing? Or is he for real? And he was for real. And so he said, hey, everyone, please wait. He said, let me tell you a story. And out of his pocket, he took a mirror, a little round mirror. And he said, you know, I grew up in a war-torn community. And as a child, I came upon some wreckage. There was a motorcycle that was shattered, and there was pieces of the mirror all over, and I tried to put them together to make them one mirror, but I couldn't. It was just too many pieces, and pieces were missing. So I took the largest piece, and then I started scraping it on a rock until it was round. And then I would just play with it. I would go to places that where I couldn't see things, holes, crevices, even my closet, and I would shine. I would reflect the light into these dark places so I could see what was there. And he said, I've always kept this, even as a young adult and then as an adult. I would take it out, and just when I was bored, I would just kind of, you know, flash it and just think of my childhood. I'm going to read you his quote. The words will be on the screen. He said, I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the black places in the hearts of men, and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. This is what I am about. This is the meaning of life. Folks, Jesus is the light. We are his reflectors. How will that impact you today, this week? First of all, you ought to be going out of here with a sense of purpose. God has called us to be a reflection. I don't know if you're frustrated with where you live, where you work, who you're with. The reality is, tomorrow, when you wake up, where you live, when you go, where you work, when you're interacting with those around you, we are called to reflect the light of the world. And so what will that look like? Will you open up the Bible and read, or if you don't like to read, listen to it? Audio Bible's available. It's free. Will you feed your soul? Will you respond to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit nudges you and says, you know what? You're going the wrong direction. Jesus said, follow me. Go this direction. Will you go to people and apologize? Will you stop saying things or doing things? If so, we are a community of light. And so we need to say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Will you pray for me? Can I call you every time I'm tempted to do that? So on this next slide is contact information. I would love to know, how is God using this in your life? This week, email me, greg@shelterrockchurch.com. If you just want to text me. Use that number wisely, though, please. Right? Don't take advantage of that. But text me, email me. Hey, here's what I'm seeing. Here's where I'm struggling. Here's the victory I have. Because I want you to know Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. We are his reflectors. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are the light. And God, right now, there may be people who have not said yes to you. Folks, if this is you, just pray a prayer like this. God, here I am. Thank you that you are the light. I've been going my own way my whole life, but that changes right now. My desire is to follow you. You promised if I follow you, I won't walk in darkness. I am choosing to follow you. Jesus, will you lead my life? For those of us who are Jesus followers, say, God, I know you speak to me all the time. Help me to listen. I know you're leading me all the time. Help me to have the courage to follow you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.